we're in week three of the Psalms of Lament. We've talked about what the Psalms are, the Psalms of Lament. There's 150 Psalms in the Bible. God's Word has 150 Psalms, various authors, mostly David. Asaph is another author, Moses. One third of those are Psalms of Lament. And what a lament is, let's define that for those that haven't been here those last two Sundays. A lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. A prayer in pain that leads to trust. So a lament has to travel. A lament does travel. It doesn't just stay there. It travels and it leads somewhere. It leads to trust. It leads to faith. It leads to praise. Even in the midst of sorrow and pain and hard things that happen in our lives. So you've probably noticed already in the bulletin that we're not in the book of Psalms. We're in the book of Lamentations, which, hello, is a lament. The word is right there, Lamentations, chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 19. Jeremiah is the author, prophet Jeremiah. Interesting, he was known as the weeping prophet. He was weeping for his people. They were disobedient, unfaithful. And Rome, Jerusalem was in ruins. And so he writes this in the midst of that destruction. I remember my affliction and my wandering. The bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today from Lamentations that you inspired Jeremiah to write so many years ago to point us to you and who you are in your character, your mercy and your love. Help us to understand a little bit better what this means today for us in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Mark Brokop, I've used him, his book Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, a number of times, a couple of quotes from there. Why he wrote this book was he lost little Sylvia, stillborn, his little girl, 20-some years ago. And he wrote this book about 6 years ago out of that grief and that sorrow that he went through, he and his wife and family. The Psalms of Lament. And he gives that definition of a lament. A prayer in pain that leads to trust. Mark said this, you need to know what lament is. Does not always lead to an immediate solution. It does not always bring a quick or timely answer. Grief is not tame. Lament is not a simplistic formula. Instead, lament is the song you sing, believing that one day God will answer and restore. Lament invites us to pray through our struggle with a life that is far from perfect. We talked about these things, these last number of Sundays, about the structure of the Psalms of Lament. Do you remember what they are? There was four of them. Turn, thank you. You must have taken notes. Turn, right? In the pain, in the sorrow, in the struggle, in the trial, in the thing that's hard, we go to a place where we know we'll be heard, and that's turn to God. So turn. C, remember the C? Complaint. Okay? Not complaining. We talked about the difference between complaint and complain. Let me speak to that now. Let me speak about complaint. Complaints are an honest and humble way of letting God know that this hurts and that I don't understand maybe why I'm going through this or why somebody else is going through this. And so I'm going to offer a humble, an honest, heart-wrenching complaint to God. It's not complaining. God, you're mean, you're ugly, you know, that kind of thing. It's not complaining. So here's how Mark kind of describes that. He says you have two ditches. Okay, you've got a path here, you've got a road down the middle. You have two ditches. One ditch is the ditch of despair. That's the despair side. Let's say that's over here. The despair side basically says, this is hard and I don't understand and I'm mad. That's the despair. I don't know where to go with it. I'm in despair. So that's one side. The other side is the denial side. Denial. Okay? This is not happening. This can't be. So Mark says this, lament enters into this no hope terrain, he calls it. No hope terrain, the two ditches. And keeps us out of either ditch by helping us to offer our heartfelt complaints to the Lord in a way that's humble, that's biblical, that's honest, that also leads to resolution. Because the reality is, hard is not bad, but the fact of the matter, hard is still hard. And what lament does is it acknowledges that it is, and we can get to a point of resolution and learn what it means to trust in the Lord. We all go through seasons of suffering, of loss, disappointment, grief. The book of Lamentations was written for such a season as that. Jerusalem is destroyed. The temple lay in ruins. God's people felt abandoned. Yet in the very middle of this book, at the very heart of despair, comes one of the most hope-filled declarations in all of Scripture. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This passage teaches us that even in the darkest moments, even in the darkest moments, God is faithful. His mercy, His love, His goodness never, ever runs out. Never, ever runs out. Now we feel the weight of suffering in the first two verses of this passage, 19 and 20. Here they are again. Jeremiah cries out. He's the weeping prophet. He's weeping for his people, for the destruction of Jerusalem, for the sinfulness of his people and of his. And he says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. He had a lot to cry about. He had a lot to cry about. Jeremiah is brutally honest here. He does not gloss over his suffering. He remembers He remembers the pain and the bitterness and the despair. His soul is downcast, he says. Lament allows us to name our pain. That's what lament helps us to do. It helps us to name our pain. And faith doesn't deny suffering. It brings it honestly before God. Sometimes life feels like ashes, and we wonder if hope can survive. So when you were under the weight of that in your own life, and you're feeling that, don't bury it. Don't ever bury it or deny it or be in despair. Those are the two ditches. But bring it continually to God. Continually means continually, because we have a place to go. And we have someone who loves us and cares enough about us, or for us, to handle it and to hear it. He's there for you. He wants to hear from you. And he cares and loves you. He's good. And we talked a little bit about this. Don't give him the silent treatment. I know that when I'm upset with Rhonda, that I can give her the silent treatment. Do I ever do that? I do. Maybe some of you respond that way to conflict. Don't give God the silent treatment. He wants to hear from you. But I don't know how to pray. Tell him that. Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know the words to tell him. Lord, I don't have the words. I don't know what to pray. Holy Spirit helps. You know Jesus. Holy Spirit's in you. He'll help you. In the Psalms of Lament and here in Lamentations, there's a turning point. There's a turning point of hope. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope because of the Lord's great love. We're not consumed, for His compassions, they never fail. They're new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion, therefore I wait for Him. The whole tone shifts with the word yet. There's a turn in the passage. It changes everything. In the midst of despair, Jeremiah remembers who God is. We talked about that last Sunday. When we're in the middle of the sorrow and the pain, we pause and we remember. When we're in the middle of the sorrow and the pain and the discomfort and the not understanding what's going on in my life, why is this happening? In the middle of that, we pause and remember His faithfulness, His goodness, His love, His mercy, because it's the same today, now, and forever. We remember God's love is steadfast. It doesn't evaporate in suffering. His mercies are fresh. They're new every morning. Like Israel in the wilderness, they were fed manna. That's what His love and mercy is, His goodness and His faithfulness. It's like manna in the wilderness. He provides what we need daily. God Himself is our portion. It's not possessions or circumstances, but it's His presence. It's real, and it's a gift. Hope is not found in changing circumstances, but in the unchanging character of God. I watched a movie recently, and I'm not going to tell you about which movie or what it was all about, but in the movie, you'll probably guess it now, Earth, the people on Earth are being threatened with an attack from somebody out there, aliens or whatever they are, and they're in despair. They're not sure how to react. They're fearful. They're afraid. The end of the world as they know it could end. There's a guy that comes over the speaker. He's speaking to the people of the city. And he says, we're in this together. We're a family. We can do this. And this is what caught my eye or ear. We can dare to hope. That's what Jeremiah just said. In the midst of destruction and sin and unfaithfulness and worshiping of idols, and yet I call to mind and therefore I have hope. That's the NIV. Here's the New Living Translation. Yet I still dare to hope. There it is. That's the phrase that caught my ear. When I remember this. Remember what? God's goodness. God's faithfulness. His loving kindness. His presence. Sanctus Real. I think I'm saying that name right. Am I saying that right? Sanctus Real, Tina? I think so. Remember the group? They're an older group, Christian group. They wrote a song called Dare to Hope. I wanted to read it to you. Dare to Hope. How do you pick up the pieces of a home that's torn apart? How do you believe for healing for a grieving, broken heart? It's only by the hope of Jesus. That light bursts through the dark to meet us where we are. Hope can't be shaken by fear, can't be taken by force, lifts a soul from despair and says it's worth fighting for. Our God still carries the weight of this broken world, so though my sorrow is great, I will dare to hope. 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 Dare to hope. I will see my deepest heartache become holy ground because He turned a cross of suffering into my victory now. It's only by the blood of Jesus He laid down His life so my life could be found, and that's why. Hope can't be shaken by fear, can't be taken by force. Lifts a soul from despair and says it's worth fighting for. God's goodness. And Jeremiah reminds us in the midst of that hard, the Lord is good to those who hope in Him. To the one who seeks Him, it's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. God's goodness is experienced in the waiting. Waiting is not passive, it's trusting. Our world wants instant relief, but God's timing shapes our faith. So when you feel stuck in silence, keep trusting. God is still working. We wait on Him, and the Lord has compassion for us in our suffering, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is His unfailing love, for He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. God's heart is not cruel. His discipline is real because of sin, but His compassion is greater. Suffering is never the final word. God's mercy is. Even when life feels crushing, remember, God's faithfulness will outlast every sorrow. A writer told this story. I think of a man I once knew who had nearly lost everything. His marriage had failed. His job was gone. He was drowning in depression. He told me he would wake up each morning with no reason to get out of bed. Hope had completely drained away. But then in his brokenness, he began attending church. Sat in the back with arms crossed, listening but not believing. Yet week after week, as the word was preached and the hymns were sung, the Spirit of God began to soften his heart. One morning he heard the simple truth that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, that God's mercy is new every morning, and that no one is too far gone for His love. That day he surrendered his life to Christ. He told me later, it was like the sun finally rose in my soul again. The circumstances of his life didn't immediately change, but hope had been reborn. He discovered what Jeremiah discovered. He discovered what Jeremiah discovered. He discovered what Jeremiah discovered. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. Lamentations teaches us three things in seasons, actually four, in seasons of deep grief. We can name our pain honestly, humbly, when we turn to him. We can recall God's mercy and his faithfulness daily. We can wait with hope because of who Jesus is. And we can trust his faithful compassion. So this morning, your circumstances may shift, but God is still faithful. He's still faithful. His love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and his faithfulness, his grace, is great. So today, take your lament to him and find that underneath it all is that steady rock of his faithfulness. Let me close with this. As the praise team comes forward, we're going to sing one more song. Tim Keller, a pastor at Redeemer Church in New York City, he's passed on. He's with Jesus now. Written a number of books. One of the books he wrote was called Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. He said this: we may hear our hearts say, it's hopeless. But we should argue back. We should say, well, that depends on what we're hoping in. Was that the right thing to put so much hope in? Notice how the psalmist in Psalm 42 analyzes his own hopes. We looked at that two Sundays ago. Why are you so downcast, my soul? We heard it from Jeremiah today. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Notice that he admonishes himself. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. The psalmist is talking to his heart, telling it to go to God, looking to God. And Mark says this: in the midst of the darkest moments of your life, I hope you'll have the courage and conviction to say, but I call to mind what God is like. I'm going to rehearse what I know to be true. I'm going to recite what I know I believe. I'm going to dare to hope.